UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.
Hello everyone and welcome to Atoll Mountain, a podcast for lovers of English literature, for book lovers, a podcast about women writers, and this is episode 3. You got somewhere. I am Natalia Hernandez, a teacher of English at the Official School of Languages in Elche. This podcast has been born of the collaboration between the Official School's Media Center, Mediateca, and the UMH, Universidad Miguel Hernández. It's a pleasure to have you here, listening to us on UMH Radio. But remember, you can listen to it whenever you want on iVoox, please subscribe, and also on the websites of the Official School of Languages and the UMH. Just play the game, you know, eventually you'll love her good. Today, we'll be talking about the amazing Nigerian writer Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and I'll interview Maria Dolores, a student at the School of Languages, an avid reader and a member of so many different book clubs. She's got a lot to say. And many of you might wonder, why Atoll Mountain? Where does this name come from? You'll find out today, but at the end of this episode. And to begin with today, here is our first section, A Woman's Life. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie was born in Nigeria in 1977. She grew up on the campus of the University of Nigeria, Nsukka, where her father was a professor. She studied medicine for a year and then left for the USA at the age of 19 to continue her education on a different path. She graduated there with a degree in communication and political science. She has a master's degree in creative writing from Johns Hopkins University and a Master of Arts degree in African history from Yale University. In 2008, she received a MacArthur Fellowship. She's written beautiful novels like Purple Hibiscus, Half of a Yellow Sun, and Americana, all of which have received different prestigious awards. And she's also written a short story collection whose title is The Thing Around Your Neck. Chimamanda has delivered two landmark TED Talks, The Danger of a Single Story and We Should All Be Feminists, which started a worldwide conversation about feminism and was published as a book in 2014. We have a copy of this one at the school's media center. You can borrow it. You can also find the videos both on her official website and on her YouTube channel. Don't miss her. She's a natural storyteller. Dear Ijawele, or A Feminist Manifesto in 15 Suggestions, is a short essay that was published in 2017. You can borrow one of the copies we have at our media center too, at the School of Languages. A few years later, she published Notes on Grief, a moving essay about losing her father, who had died the previous year. You can read it for free on the New Yorker's website, and you can find the link on our Instagram post. Her last published work is her debut children's book, Mama's Sleeping Scarf, beautifully illustrated by another woman, Joelle Avelino, who is of Congolese and Angolan nationalities. Since the beginning of her career, Adichie has shown her admiration for Nigeria's intellectual and cultural strength, and she has also displayed a great awareness of the problems that have afflicted her country over decades. Another major theme running through her work has been Nigerian immigration to the States, which she has often tackled from the perspective of female protagonists. In her short fiction, Adichie has frequently featured young women who seek happiness in America, but who must face the harsh realities of Nigerian or immigrant life instead. In the stories collected in The Thing Around Your Neck, Aditi's female characters go through humiliating visa procedures. They have to negotiate marriages to repulsive husbands. They are victims of sexual abuse, encounter racism, experience financial difficulties. And with us today, we have Maria Dolores, a happily retired school teacher, an art lover, and an avid reader. One of my students last year, too. And I hope she doesn't mind me telling you, one of the best storytellers I've ever listened to.
You are so generous, Natalia. I'm so glad to be here.
Now, I am glad to have you here, Maria Dolores. Listen, how did you get to know Chimamanda?
Well, when I was attending my English lessons in a curricular course, I had the opportunity to watch some of Chimamanda's TED Talks. And it seemed to me that what she was telling us about women's rights and the way in which she did it was highly inspiring, not only for women, but also for those who feel compelled to achieve a fairer world.
Yes, she has wonderful TED Talks, but we'll speak about that later.
Okay. Afterwards, in our Learning English Through Literature course with you, we all read Diary Yawale, and I felt totally hooked on her. We talked about it in depth, as you know.
Yes.
And no one could deny that this is a must read for parents bringing up children in particular and readership in general.
What kind of book is it, Maria Dolores? How would you summarize it?
Well, Diary Yawale is an original piece of writing in an epistolar style in which the author is asked by her friend Yawale how to raise her newborn daughter Tisalum as a feminist. The book consists of 15 suggestions, which should be followed by everyone in a bid to be respectful with women's rights.
In fact, that's the title of the book, Diary Yawale, or A Feminist Manifesto in 15 Suggestions.
Yes. It is absolutely impressive how wisely Aditi summarizes an entire way of life in such apparently simple and common sense pieces of advice.
Yes.
The book functions both as a parenting guide for raising girls to be independent and as a sort of guide for feminism that anyone can use to live a more feminist life.
And which of the 15 suggestions did you find more striking or more interesting?
From my point of view, suggestion number 10, be deliberate about how you engage with her and her appearance, is paramount in this day and age.
Yes.
Since the ubiquitous presence of standardized beauty or perfect bodies generates countless insecurities in teenagers, most of them girls, whose self-esteem suffers when the perception of themselves doesn't meet the standards.
You're completely right. We're getting bombarded with these beauty norms from all sides, especially mass media and social media.
You hit the nail on the head, Natalia. Chimamanda mentions in this suggestion that feminism is not opposed to femininity. However, under no circumstances should issues such as fashion, makeup, or physical appearance be related to morality. We don't do the same with boys.
No, we don't.
No. In fact, scarcely does a day go by without a piece of news in the media related to sexual harassment to girls in which their clothes weren't questioned.
That's so sad.
Yeah, girls should feel free to choose the appearance they like the most without being wrongly judged as frivolous. Not to mention the part which refers to hairstyle. Chimamanda considers it a complete waste of time, trying to straighten it instead of doing or learning other things. She proposes that offering other alternatives of beauty could help to value diversity. It is really sad to constantly have to reject or argue about the apparently irrelevant issues which are vitally important for girls all over the world.
Yes. What about the least surprising or the least interesting suggestion?
If truth be told, none of the 15 suggestions in Adichie's feminist manifesto can be considered as uninteresting.
Definitely.
What I mean is, all of them refer to crucial aspects of women's lives, sex, romance, and so forth. But it could be a good idea for parents to have a guide to raise boys, just like the one for Tisalum, the baby girl, don't you think?
Yes, I totally agree, Maria Dolores. In fact, I believe it's an excellent idea. Maybe you and I should write a version for boys, how to raise a feminist boy, don't you think?
Yes, why not? We could be as inspiring as Chimamanda is. I'm completely convinced that there are men who feel comfortable in their traditional superior role, but there are others who feel straitjacketed with it, and they need to be advised about how to break gender barriers without feeling guilty for doing so, for not living up to the expectations of superior males, or being rejected or bullied for trying. Probably they feel as caught up in gender roles as women.
Actually, in connection with what you just said, another of these suggestions is her number three, which goes like this. Teach her that the idea of gender roles is absolute nonsense. Personally, this one is my favorite. Would you dwell on it for us, please?
Sure. In the third suggestion, she advocates for giving girls more room to explore and try things that they like, even if traditionally it has been just the opposite to be expected from them, for the mere fact of being girls. They must be completely convinced that gender roles are constraints that society has created about how a boy and a girl should behave. Girls should be raised and measured on a scale of being the best version of themselves as individuals, not as girls.
Absolutely. Not as what society expects a girl to look like or how society expects a girl to behave.
Yes, it is essential to foster self-reliance in girls and reject or at least question which toys a girl should play with, which clothes she should wear, or even considering marriage as a prize when it doesn't happen to a boy. It is evident that, albeit not explicit, in a subtle way, it is something we constantly witness.
For me, suggestion six is a prominent one too. It goes like this. Teach her to question language. What does Chimamanda mean with it, and what do you think about it?
What Chimamanda points out with this suggestion is that the words we use to encourage, praise, or just to address to them must be very carefully selected due to the fact that what we tell them matters, and we shouldn't make them think that qualities which entail beauty, condescendence, likability, should prevail over others which can be used for boys too. For instance, adjectives such as hardworking, creative, or witty could be a good option instead of princess or doll, which are loaded with sexist connotations.
Yes, it's astonishing how we tend to say to little girls, oh, how pretty you are, how sweet, and to little boys, oh, how big, how strong. Without a doubt, these words will make an impact on children, and they will tend to develop those characteristics in order to feel valued.
That's right. There are lots of examples from real life that Chimamanda uses to better explain what she intends to convey. She tries to expose us to quotidian situations which we tend to normalize. However, they should be at least questioned. As far as I'm concerned, I must confess that I have used different terms depending if I was addressing a boy or a girl.
Yeah, me too.
And unconsciously, may have provoked what I wasn't intending. Now I am much more aware of this important issue.
Yes, we must be very careful with words and being aware of what we say to boys, to girls, even to ourselves, is the first step to change. Maria Dolores, let's move on to another question now. What is her literary style? Do you recommend reading her work to learners of English?
Yeah. With respect to Chimamanda's style, I dare say that simply her ability to develop perspectives and her tone are the qualities that make her a great writer. In her writing, she uses traits of her personal life to create almost real stories, stories which are packed with her own experiences and make them more accurate, realistic, even to the highest details. This way, her audience can relate to them, and this will make them trust her when she writes about situations she is never beaten in. She also has a non-linear storytelling style, apparently sophisticated and complicated on the surface, but she does it in such a way that for the readers it becomes really simple and natural.
It does. Sometimes you even feel like you're watching a film rather than reading a book.
I see eye to eye with you, Natalia. And another aspect worth considering is how she uses the happenings of the time. By weaving history into her stories, she tells the experience of a lot of people, including potential readers. Half of A Yellow Sun, for instance, is based on the Nigerian Civil War between 1967 and 1970. Purple hibiscus is waved around the brutal reigns of Nigerian military dictators between the 80s and the 90s. Americana is an offshoot of the Nigerian brain drain.
What's that? What's a brain drain or the Nigerian brain drain?
Yes, brain drain. That happens when professionals or scholars, researchers who have been trained in a country have to emigrate to move to a different country which offers better opportunities, better salaries, and so on. In this case, the Nigerian brain drain meant emigrating to nations with better working environment, such as the USA, the United Kingdom, and Canada.
All right, that's happening in Spain too, really. It's really common.
Yes, it is, sadly. For Chimamanda, it is important when writing about an era to carefully study, understand, and make use of the cultural, political, social, and religious events of the time.
Yes, and so necessary. Maria Dolores, as we mentioned before, Chimamanda has also given a few speeches for TED Talks, a nonprofit organization which explores lots of different topics, from science and business to education, arts, and global issues. Many of them can be watched online. My favorite is The Danger of a Single Story. Have you watched it, or what do you make of it?
Yes, indeed. I've watched it many times, and the more I watch it, the more I understand how inspiring she is for women. No one could dispute that she is a trailblazer in defending feminism. Basically, what Aditi tries to highlight is that we need to see the whole picture of whatever situation which may arise in society, especially the unfair ones. Only by taking into account others' points of view, being informed and studying in depth what we are witnessing around us in terms of inequality, will we become more open-minded and understanding. I couldn't agree more with Aditi when she warns us about the dangers of stereotypes.
And this is something so crucial to remember right now, Maria Dolores, that we are living through such difficult times with so many conflicts, so much war.
Yeah, it's a spiral of violence.
Yeah, this TED Talk is an ode to tolerance, really, yes. Listen, I especially remember an anecdote that she tells about when she was little. A little black girl in Nigeria, and she started writing. Let me read it aloud. You'll probably remember it. Oh, wait a moment. Better still, Maria Dolores, would you read it for our listeners? Would you read it for us? Please?
Yeah. All right. All right.
Okay, here you go.
Okay. Let me see. Well, these are Chimamanda's words.
Okay.
I was also an early writer, and when I began to write, at about the age of 7, stories in pencil with crayon illustrations that my poor mother was obligated to read. I wrote exactly the kinds of stories I was reading. All my characters were white and blue-eyed. They played in the snow, they ate apples, and they talked a lot about the weather. How yes. how lovely it was that the sun had come out.
Oh, yes.
Now this, despite the fact that I live in Nigeria. I had never been outside Nigeria. We didn't have snow. We ate mangoes, and we never talked about the weather because there was no need to.
No, such a British thing.
Oh, yes, I really remember that part. It's beautifully funny.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, this TED Talk is so close to my heart, and she explains things so well, so simply. I highly recommend watching it. It's a must. Okay, Maria Dolores, we are getting to the end of this interview, but before you go, you should do two things for me. First, please choose a quote mm-hmm. by Chimamanda that is special to you.
Having read a head of quotes by her, full of content to be discussed, I have chosen one of the simplest ones because it is inextricably linked to a recent piece of news in France.
Okay.
You know, the quote reads, "If you have braids, they will think you are unprofessional." She wrote this in her novel, Americana.
Oh, and so what happened in France?
Funnily enough, a few weeks ago in France, on the 2nd of March, a new law was passed in which discrimination at work is forbidden and penalized.
Okay.
This law that hasn't still been approved by the Senate is extensive to red-haired and bald people. But the most perjudicated by hairstyle have been, by far and away, women, especially African women. And that's a clear example to illustrate how hard it has been for them to defend their identity. It has been, and it is today, an uphill struggle.
Yes, it's 2024, and there's still such a long way to go, isn't there? Now, briefly, why do you recommend reading her work?
I highly recommend Aditi's work to people of all walks of life, since it is a fresh and unbiased way to approach feminism and to set in motion what we have learned from her in a bid to contribute to gender equality. There's a long way to go, but the smallest contribution matters, and everyone in society has to play their part. By the same token, her literary style is direct and accessible since she uses easy vocabulary and grammar structures, as well as a myriad of anecdotes which make her works addictive.
Thank you so much, Maria Dolores. It's been lovely to have you here, and I would love you to accept an invitation for another episode in the future. What do you think?
Of course, I accept your invitation. Thanks for having me here, Dalia.
Thank you. And it's time now for our next section, On Screen. I have seen neither, but there are two films based on her stories. One of them is a film based on Chimamanda's Half of a Yellow Sun. It shares the title with the novel, and it was directed by the Nigerian Biyi Bandele. About this film, Chimamanda said that she was happy about the final product of it, as she thought it was beautiful and very well done. She loved the fact that it was filmed in Nigeria, which was her only requirement. The second one is On Monday of Last Week, directed by the Ghanaian-American woman Akosua Adoma Owusu, or something like that, a film based on one of her stories, of the stories compiled in The Thing Around Your Neck. I'm looking forward to seeing the two of them. As you may have imagined, Chimamanda has her own website, chimamanda.com. Here you can find lots of information about her literary work, events, news, interviews, as well as a few articles she has written. And strangely enough, on this page she makes reference to another website, the Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie website, that's the complete name, which is maintained by Daria Tanka, a lecturer at the University of Liège in Belgium. It's a great website too. Chimamanda's also on social media, so you'll be able to follow her on Facebook, on Instagram and Twitter. She has her own YouTube channel, where you can watch the TED Talks we've mentioned on this episode, as well as other videos with interviews and other speeches she's given. You shouldn't miss watching her speak, since I believe she's the best storyteller there's ever been. Well, the second best after Maria Dolores. Notes on Grief, the essay that she wrote after father's death, is available on the New Yorker's website. You'll find the links to all these websites I've mentioned on the School of Languages Instagram post for this episode of A Taller Mountain. And before we go, as I promised at the beginning of this episode, I want to tell you why the name of this podcast is A Taller Mountain. In order to do so, first of all, I must mention Rupi Kaur. She is a Canadian poet. She was born in India in 1992. We're talking about a very young woman. And she emigrated to Canada at a young age with her family. She began performing poetry in 2009 and gained fame on Instagram. A Taller Mountain is a reference to one of her poems, a beautiful one, which I'd like you to listen to. And since today we have Maria Dolores here, I'd love her to read it to you. Will you do that for us again, please, Maria Dolores? I'm making you work a lot today.
Yes, here you are. Okay. Here I go again.
Good.
I stand on the sacrifices of a million women before me, thinking, what can I do to make this mountain taller so the women after me can see farther?
Maria Dolores, thank you. That was beautiful. You've made this mountain taller today with us doing this podcast and our listeners too.
Okay, thank you, all of us together,
we are making this mountain taller. Well, that was all for today. I hope you had a good time with us. Don't forget that you can find the link to this podcast, as well as those links I mentioned on the section on screen, posted on the Instagram page of the official School of Languages, eoi.elx. Please subscribe to A Taller Mountain on iVoox and give us a like if you enjoyed it. It will also be available on the school's webpage and on radio.umh.es. Today, we have to say goodbye to all of you, but it's just a temporary goodbye, since this episode closes the first season of our podcast this academic year. Please, tune in with us again after the summer, in October, when the second season will start. Thank you for listening to us, and also, a huge thank you to the entire staff of the UMH Radio. In controls today, Borja Cabrera. Bye. Be a woman and you'll be a man. Instead of feeling broke, buck up.
UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.